Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Our DIVORCE becomes final today. Me and little J.O.B. will be going away.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Yes, this is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and now we're talking about raising kids with your ex. My next guest has written a new edition of a book whose title says it all, Joint Custody with a Jerk, Raising a Child with an Uncooperative Ex. As if divorce isn't hard enough, the next and longer battle is how to co-parent and share custody with a person you can't stand. You may remember this book. It came out 15 years ago. Now the new edition includes how to navigate joint custody in the digital age, too much information, constant communication, and Facebook. The book is written by Judy Corcoran and Julie Ross. Julie Ross, who's also the executive editor of Parenting Horizons, joins me now. Welcome to WNYC, Julie.
Thank you.
And we're going to have our listeners call in because we want to hear their stories. Listeners, we want to hear about navigating joint custody with your ex. What are the pitfalls and what are your solutions? Do you have any questions for Julie? We know people feel incredibly guilty about fighting with an ex when kids are involved, but there are no judgments here. Just call in because we have someone now who can help. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you have any specific stories about how social media or digital communication has affected parenting with your ex, tell us about that too. 212-433-WNYC. So, Julie, it's not as if the communication problems go away once you no longer share the common home and finances, right? What are the most common communication pitfalls you hear when parents are sharing custody?
Well, I think, first of all, you're right. They don't go away. In fact, they magnify after divorce often because there's a lot of anger and resentment and even feelings of revenge that parents have towards one another. They feel hurt. The marriage didn't work out. And so those emotions, those intense emotions, make communication even more challenging. I think probably the most the common pitfalls in communicating in a divorce situation with children have to do with parentifying the child. So, in other words, treating the child as a confidant, communicating with your child about your dislike for the other parent. That's a very, very, very damaging thing to do for the child. Another thing is using the child as a messenger, you know, asking the child, go tell your father, go tell your mother, X, Y, and Z. Again, very dangerous territory for kids. Communicating without boundaries. And I think one of the things that's happened in the digital age is that the boundaries have become fewer as opposed to greater and more contact.
If they exist at all.
If they exist at all, exactly. Nothing is private anymore. People have a tendency to put all of their entire life out on Facebook, for example, and forget that that's not private information. They forget that not only can their ex possibly read that or, have access to it, but their kids can have access to it too.
But, we always hear don't involve the kids, keep the kids out of it, don't make them messengers, don't talk to them about the divorce or your ex. But isn't there the flip side where you might protect the kid too much if you shield them too much from the conflict? Kids are so perceptive. They're so aware of what's going on. Isn't there some point at which the kid should have some sense of what's going on?
Yes. Well, I think the answer there really revolves around being honest about and owning your feelings. So because children, you're right, are very perceptive. They're very clear about mommy's angry or daddy's angry, and they know who that parent is angry with. And it's okay to say, you know what, I'm feeling very angry. And it has nothing to do with you. And it doesn't mean your mom or your dad is a bad person. It's just that I'm feeling angry right now. So it's about not creating a conflict of loyalties between parents. You know, whose side should I choose? And that requires a lot of strength.
It sure does.
Yeah, parents don't often, you know, they don't often understand how they can be angry and still keep it not a secret from the child, but keep the child from feeling like there's something wrong with the other person. That anger really does involve ownership of feeling.
Let's take a call, Julie, from Anonymous, an anonymous caller who is in Poughkeepsie, New York. You are on WNYC with Julie Ross, Director of Parenting Horizons.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I feel like there are a whole bunch of things I have to say about this. The first is I was really called to the title of the book, especially the part about Practical Guide to Communicating with a Difficult Ex-Spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, right now I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. One of the things as we separated was we realized we just weren't communicating well at all. And we never really figured out how to communicate then, and we still don't really. I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think... both of us keep trying to push different ways to communicate, and we've kind of gotten it on a very small level, like, well, are you going to be taking him tonight or tomorrow night? You know, we exchange text messages a lot. But in trying to actually coordinate anything larger than that, we keep hitting roadblocks. I mean, you know, we set up calendars using Google Calendar that we share, and they don't get updated. Mm-hmm. You know, we set up documents in Google Docs about things that we need the other to know, and they don't get updated. We send email, and they don't get acknowledged. You know, it's kind of how do you communicate with somebody who isn't talking back to you?
Well, Julie, you write about this. It sounds like there's a fundamental issue of respect for time and respect for schedule mm-hmm. here, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, it sounds like one of the things you're doing right is keeping your messages to one another fairly brief and factual, and that's really, really important. You know, communication is obviously a two-way street, and it's only as effective as both parties, you know, contribute to it. But remember that communication is also an equation of sorts, so that, you know, you've got 1 + 1 = 2. Well, if you want that result, if you want 2 to be the number 3, only you need to change. So, for example, looking at your ex-wife's inability maybe to update the Google Calendar, you know, one thing you could do is look, what's a workaround for this? You know, if she's not going to do it, how can I set up boundaries and perhaps even some consequences that will be effective in changing the result of the equation, even if I can't change her.
And you have some specific advice about texting, because our caller just mentioned texting. Mm-hmm. And you say, while it's good for brevity in quick messages, you shouldn't text important messages. And I love where you say, don't text while driving.
Exactly.
And don't read any texts until you arrive at your destination.
Exactly.
And don't drink and text.
Exactly.
And this is actually great advice for life. This is not just in the context of divorce and custody. These are important life lessons. So we have to think about the ways in which we communicate, too, right, Julie?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there are benefits to texting, but there are also severe drawbacks, because communication is really comprised of three things: words, tone of voice, and body language. Body language is actually 55% of communication. Tone of voice is 38% of communication. So all of that is missing when we text, when we email. You know, even when we use Google Calendars, that's missing. Sometimes it's necessary to pick up the phone and make a phone call so that at least you have the tone of voice presence as well. Now, again, texting can be really good if you're super angry, if you carefully craft your text message, because if you carefully craft it, you can remove the anger, because most of that is communicated with body language and tone of voice. So it can become a more neutral communication. But it has to be done very, very carefully.
And again, excellent advice in general, not just in the context of divorce and custody battles.
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Al. He is in Brooklyn. Al, you are on with Julie Ross.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Thank you for calling.
My situation is pretty complicated. My daughter's out of the country, So we communicate via Skype all the time. And the major problem is my ex-wife is, I mean, my daughter doesn't have her own computer, so she's sitting by the computer, and then my ex-wife is in the back, you know, just hovering. So it's really hard to figure out what's really going on or if I'm getting honest answers or even, you know, to ask, you know, how's it really going? So it becomes, and then on top of that, I get emails saying that I'm not fulfilling my duties as on the other half, you know, taking care of child support, which is totally false. But then she tried to make me feel guilty by saying, oh, I told our daughter that, you know, I explained to her we can't have this and can't have that because of you, and she's kind of angry at you. I mean, like, it's just like, wow, this is not good.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, there's a couple of thoughts that I have about that. One is that, you know, I see it very commonly in divorce situations where, you know, one parent will treat the child as a confidant and feed them inappropriate information or information that's, you know, blatantly untrue, like, you know, well, you can't have this because your dad doesn't give me enough money or whatever. And as hard as it is, you know, you have to remember that kids really do fall out on the side of being perceptive and getting honesty. So while your daughter may be convinced by her mom right now, if you continue, and it's hard, it's really hard, if you continue to take the high road and be non-blaming, non-judgmental in front of your daughter, you know, judge all you want on the side, but non-blaming, non-judgmental, eventually the kid sees the truth in the relationship and will forge a relationship, you know, with you, even if your ex is bad-mouthing. And then the other thought I had was, you know, we talk in the book about something called positive assertions, which are a communication tool that allows you to make a simple request that lowers the defensiveness of the other person. Now, I'm not going to tell you it always works 100% of the time, because defensiveness is created by a lot of different factors. But, you know, to not contribute to that, if you frame things in what we call I statements, so I'd love to be able to talk to, you know, my daughter, you know, alone. That's going to be a better communication than, for example, a you statement, which would be, you know, you're always in the background. Why do you do that? You know, can't you get out of the room so I can talk to her alone? So you might want to try that. Again, it sounds like she's feeling very possessive. It sounds like she's feeling, you know, very concerned about a one-on-one conversation between you and your daughter. And some of that may take some time for her to pull away from if she begins to realize that you're not going to be saying anything that's negative. But again, I try the positive assertion because it might gain you some ground there.
And I want to take Edward in Queens, who is going to join us, and I believe he has a special expertise in this area. But quickly, I want to ask you, since our last caller, Al, brought up Skype, which is a new, brave new world in this area, what
right.
about Facebook? What's the impact of that in the child custody arena?
You know, Facebook can actually can be very problematic. It often engages jealousy and anger on the part of the ex. If you're friended and if those privacy controls aren't set exactly right, because it's very hard when you feel like you're struggling with money, for example, to look and see that your ex, who is complaining about giving you money or complaining about money for themselves, you know, is off on in the Bahamas, you know, with gorgeous pictures of the sunset and his or her new partner. It just enrages, you know, it has a tendency to enrage the other person. And again, you know, the key to all of the electronics is remembering that nothing is private. Nothing. If it's out there, even with the privacy settings, the likelihood that your child will see it is extremely high. And I ask parents, assume they will see it. Don't say, oh, no, I've fixed it so they won't. Assume they will. And if you think it might hurt them or create anger on the part of your ex, don't put it out there.
Yeah, great advice, great advice. Okay, Edward now joins us. He is calling from Queens. Edward, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call, and I'm excited to read the book and share it with some of my clients. I'm an attorney who does a lot of family law stuff, and I've done custody cases, and I'm just thinking of one client in particular whose ex-husband is a definite jerk, and they've had joint custody for 8 years maybe, and they are two people who should not have had joint custody. Mm. And my problem is, I think if joint custody by its very nature means you are communicating to raise the child together, and I think all these quote-unquote new communications, you know, email, texting, Skype, Facebooking, I think they just build more separation. And if you need all those devices to jointly raise a child, have joint custody, then you shouldn't have joint custody.
Right. Joint custody is not for everyone. And, you know, you're absolutely right that, you know, in a situation where the communication has gone downhill in a marriage to the degree that, you know, you can no longer live together, it's only going to be worse afterwards. And you know, the handing out of joint custody as if it's the right thing for every couple is really detrimental. You know, that it's just not the right thing if you can't communicate well.
Edward, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Do you see over the years, I'm not sure how long you've been in practice, but have you noticed a change in the nature of your practice due to new technology, new media?
Only to the extent that some judges now think it's nifty to incorporate certain new media into custody orders or any type of order. I know there's one website called Family Wizard that is a website that separated and divorced parents can use to set up their parenting schedule, and I've seen judges actually order the use of that. But there is a greater awareness, I think, that, you know, joint custody isn't always necessarily the best, and I've had judges tell me that I'm not going to, you know, order joint custody for a family in this situation, which, as the author points out, is sometimes actually the right decision.
Well, thank you, Edward, so much for your call and sharing your expertise here on WNYC. And Julie, you'll be happy to know that there's a robust conversation happening on our website at WNYC.org. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Julie.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
And it's Julie Ross. She's at Parenting Horizons, but her book, co-authored, is Joint Custody with a Jerk, Raising a Child with an Uncooperative Ex, a Hands-on Practical Guide to Communicating with a Difficult Ex-Spouse. This is a new edition that incorporates all of the challenges of this dilemma in the new media age. And Julie has been a terrific guest. Thank you so much. Her co-author is Judy Corcoran. Thanks a bunch, Judy.
Thank you.
And up next, Bert and Ernie, married or not? Are they gay? Does it matter? Why or why not? And why this is a big story. Stay with us.